Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's going on, guys? It's your boy Thunder Chats here with another word from our presenting sponsor, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at BetOnline. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at BetOnline. Updated odds for everything from live games to conference championships, right through the Final Four in the championship game. BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BELEAV, that is capital letters BLEAV, to receive your bonus. One more time, that is BLEAV, capital letters. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunzinger, at Thunder Chats. We are part of the Believe Network, and this podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Now that that is out of the way, actually, Dylan told me I shouldn't say that last week. So after that thrilling introduction, we have another thrilling introduction of our of my co-host today. First, we got a workman's pod for my guy. I had so many things I was going to say for him the other day, but it doesn't apply. So I'll save it. After an intro, we got Jerry.
Yeah. Wait, what the hell did I do last week to, you know, warrant getting like a crazy ass intro? I need a piece of this now.
It was like based on you being drunk whenever we was going to start recording. Or at least buzzed.
Yeah, no, I was. If I say I'm buzzed, I'm really drunk. If I say I'm drunk, I'm shit faced. So just so you guys know, that's how it breaks out for old Jared Dog over here.
There you go, Champagne Jerry, the jockey in the building, boys.
Gotta love it.
And also joining us today from the state of Texas, where they say everything is bigger, the one, the only, Matty Moles.
Everything is bigger down here, dude. Let me tell you. I love the soothing vibes that we got going on right now on the pod. It's really nice. I don't know if I should be talking Thunder basketball or hanging out at a spa getting a rub down. So it's pretty legit here in Thunder Nation, especially on the pod. I'm excited to be back with y'all.
Absolutely, man. It's been a minute since we've had the two of you on together, I believe. So that's fun. I also gotta just, you know, you can probably hear in the background, there's a lullaby going on in the background. There's a baby cooing and calling. That's my boy Nova, fighting sleep. So, just try to ignore those background noises, or let's just continue to draw attention to them because it is adorable. So, anyways.
I gotta say, this is really freaking quick, okay? If anybody has a problem with this, anybody. Just an inkling of an issue. I need you to write us a 1-star review on Apple. Okay. We need to wash that one out that I still have hanging over my head. no, I'm totally kidding about that.
Legitimately over your head.
Oh, is it?
It really was.
Like 5 feet, 5 inches.
Yeah. Sorry, I had 12 foot ceilings. My apologies. My bad.
Or did they just look 12 foot?
No, they were definitely 12 feet. Shut up. Okay.
Moles can actually make height jokes because Matty Moles is freaking tall. So, guys, there's no transition for that. So, Here we go. The Thunder played a game last night against the Phoenix Suns. One of the biggest games of the season is just in terms of the scope, the playoff race, and the upcoming stretch that we were about to come up against. And they were victorious, 124 to 120. Important to note that Phoenix Suns did not have Kevin Durant and DeAndre Ayton, but it's also important to note the Oklahoma City Thunder didn't have Chet Holmgren or Kenrich Williams. So take that to the bank.
Fair.
Boys, we're going to talk about this game, all the fun nuances. I think Alex might be joining us here later. He was actually at the game, so definitely want to pick his brain. But first, as we introduce that, we got to get into the segment we call the single large item. So, single large item. I'm going to go to Moles for the first one. Moles, what is your single large item for this game?
Devlin Booger is freaking annoying. Like, that dude, man, Book is like ridiculous, right? Like, nothing that we did to try to slow him down worked. He's just so good at basketball, and he can score in so many ways. And it's very frustrating when you play really good defense and it still doesn't matter. It gave me an appreciation for what teams have to feel like trying to cover Shea, because it, you know, watching it from our angle and seeing all the things that Shea does, especially inside the arc, it's like you can't stop him. He's got, you know, some type of counter for everything you throw at him. Booker was the same, man. Like, that guy was just ridiculous. And he seems to be like one of those guys that's going to torch us regardless. But really, it came down to him. And when it really mattered, it felt like Phoenix went away from him. And so I don't know why. I don't know why other guys were taking shots late, but whenever Book was shooting, he was making it. So props to Phoenix for going away from what got them there. But I know you guys are going to talk Thunder stuff, and there's plenty to talk about. But, man, Book is just a joy to watch. I appreciate watching him play ball.
Absolutely. We shout out Devin Booker, Kentucky Wildcat, great. You know, it was nice that after the Kentucky Wildcats so graciously went out to the Kansas State Wildcats in the tournament, that it was followed up by two former Wildcats and Devin Booker and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander combining for 86 points in the game. So that was fun to see. Bittersweet for the Kentucky fans. But yeah, man, I mean, Book's ridiculous. I think a lot of what it was that, you know, came down to them kind of going away from him, you know, later in the game is Mark Dignault's adjustments. You know, he started switching everything, you know, kind of bleeding into my single large item. We switched to an all-wing lineup to really just, you know, like I said, switch everything and make it difficult for their ball handlers. And specifically Devin Booker, whenever he took a step inside the three-point line and got into the mid-range, we sent another guy to trap him because, you know, Devin Booker, he shot 3-7. Like, that's a good percentage in terms of the three-point line, but Devin Booker's a mid-range assassin, much like Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. So that's where we wanted to, you know, try to make it difficult for him. So, yeah, that's probably, you know, that's why I think Devin Booker struggled. Sorry, there's no telling what's happening when over right now. Chelsea thinks it's hilarious, though, so can't wait to hear it. Nice. He's a big boy. Okay, so yeah. Like we said, Devin Booker at 46 was just hitting everything. One more thing I had to note about Devin Booker is, and I noticed this the last time we played, Lou Dort does not bother this guy at all. Like, Lou Dort is one of the best perimeter defenders, one of the most physical defenders, has bothered the likes of James Harden, Damian Lillard, you know, LeBron James, the list goes on and on. Devin Booker doesn't see Lugan Stewart when he's out there on offense. And it's extremely frustrating as a Thunder fan, but I think that we have a plan that works should we potentially see the Phoenix Suns in the playoffs coming up soon. So kind of getting into that plan that worked, kind of getting into that lineup in the fourth quarter. I know you guys think that my single large item is going to be about Shea, because it usually is, but I've got to talk about the guy that absolutely changed this game, and that is Aaron Wiggins, a man that didn't play a single minute in the first three quarters, comes in a few seconds into the fourth, completely changes the game. He only had 7 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 steals, but that was in 12 minutes of action. He was 3 of 4 from the field. He hit his only free throw attempt, and he was a +8 in that time. And he just made plays, man. He had those 2 steals were 2 on-ball steals. They led to transition buckets. He played really good defense. He gave us the ability to switch. And, you know, there was that funny stat going around earlier this year that when Aaron Wiggins starts, we win basketball games. And, you know, it was a joke. Like, everybody knew that, you know, just because Aaron Wiggins started, we wasn't going to win every game. But, you know, it wasn't a fluke. This guy impacts winning. And I, for one, as we, you know, transition into this kind of winning mindset, especially down the stretch of the season and going into next year, I want to see Wiggins play more, because I think he has, you know, he solidifies himself as like a high level role player on this team and a necessary one at that. So yeah, shout out Wiggs. He's my single large item.
He plays a lot like Kenny Hustle does, right? And that's the type of motor and drive that we honestly have missed since Kenny went out. And being able to bring in that guy with that spark and that energy off the bench at a time when we were kind of going stagnant and needed to like make that push. Great move by coach. And you say only 2 steals, but those steals led to points. They led to buckets on the other end and led to momentum and led to a really key moment in which I almost called it the peak, but the Paycom Center just went banana sandwich and like got loud, like in the KD Russ, you know, going up 3-1 on Golden State type of vibes. And so games of consequence this late, a guy like him can completely change the whole vibe of the game. Very good move for coach putting him in. And you can't overstate it. Like, he saved basketball, he saved this game, he saved our season. Like, you can't state how important he is. Just put him in the Basketball Hall of Fame already.
I concur.
Is it my turn yet?
You just chime in whenever you're ready, sir.
Oh, okay. Now, I think this is kind of piggybacking off you guys, but I thought that this was probably the most impressive stat of the night. I think we had 31 points off of 14 forced turnovers against the Suns. And to me, that's definitely a huge recipe for winning basketball, like on a ridiculous level, because usually it's on the, you know, about even with where you're at. You know, your turnovers and your points off of them kind of align. But we doubled this up, you know, plus some. And you talked about Aaron Wiggins. I mean, I think he scored all 7 of his points consecutively. I might be missing a possession or two there. But he impacted the game, got 2 layups. And then what did he do? He hit a 3, or was it free throws? It was a 3, right?
He got an M1 layup. He got that other line transition.
Yep.
I don't remember what the other point was.
Yep. Nope. That's right, though, because he got it on Chris Paul because it was a weak call, but I liked it. But you know, I think that's just huge. And the other thing, you know, I'm not going to focus on a player too much, but we won the rebounding battle, you know, by 4. And granted, yeah, we didn't have, or they didn't have KD or DeAndre Ayton, but, they had that other really tall white dude that liked to rebound a lot. And we just controlled the boards, you know, for not so much that first half, but in that second half, when we started turning things around, we played great. And then I think that the scariest thing about just our stat line last night was the fact that we only put up 20 assists to the Suns' 31 assists. So we absolutely got destroyed on that end, but we still found ways to score. Mostly out in transition. and off those turnovers. So just credit to the defense for controlling the boards. And then, you know, secondly, just capitalizing off those turnovers, because to get through, God, the gauntlet that I'll call it right now that we have in front of us, you know, just this week, we're going to have to play damn good basketball, kind of like that. You know, it's just going to have to happen. And I think that, you know, you guys were talking about Devin Booker. I think we executed the plan the exact way that we wanted to. Because like you said, you can't stop the dude, right? Like, he's literally a walking bucket wherever he wants to get the shot up at. He's just ridiculous. And, you know, we threw, God, at least three different guys at him that I can remember off the top of my head. We had J-Dub. We had, of course, Lou. And then I think Shea jumped on him for a few possessions, too, there in the fourth quarter, if I'm remembering right, because they were kind of going back and forth with each other. That's just some damn good basketball, man. Win the rebounding battle, win the turnover battle, or the points off turnovers battle, and just don't crap the bed shooting. That's a really nice game.
Yeah, death, taxes, and Jerry talking about the rebounding battle. That's
there's literally three things that win basketball games, really and truly: turnovers, rebounding, free throws. You do those three things very much better than the other team, you got a good chance to win.
Yeah, we won the free throw battle as well in makes and attempts. So
yeah, which hasn't happened, it feels like, in like a month and a half as far as the free throw disparity goes. Because what's that stat? Was it the Suns, like, Reddit and Twitter was like calling Shea a foul merchant?
Oh yeah, everybody's calling free throw merchant. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
And then if you go look at the free throws just taken in this month, he's not even top 10. Which I find hilarious. And then you got Austin Reeves at number like 3 or 4 with 77 attempts this, you know, in this last month. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. Like, no, that's not the case. He just dropped 40 on your head real quick and happened to get 14 free throws, you know, while he was at it. But yeah,
got 19.
Was it 19? Okay. Sorry. But, I'm just a purist, man. I'm sorry. I love good defense. And I love taking care of the ball. I think those two things, especially with a team this young, that we can definitely outrun you for days. I guess not even close. Take advantage of it while you can.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, man. I guess we're kind of get into our leftovers for seeing large items. You know, I mean, nobody else has said it, so I'm going to say it. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, man. I mean, talked about his free throw shooting a little bit, but 40 points, 12 of 24 shooting. He was efficient from the field, 16 of 19 from the stripe, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal, plus 10, which was second for team high, with another person that we're going to talk about on leftovers. But, you know, going in, I think coming out of the Warriors game, going into the first game in Phoenix, Shai was asked about having to miss the Phoenix game because of a back-to-back, and Shai was like, well, you know, obviously, like, I'm upset because I'd love to play for that and play in that game. It's easy to get up for a game like that, but I think we play them in a couple weeks at home, and I'll be ready for that one. And boy, was he. You know, like I said, 40 points, and he was getting it done in a variety of ways. Go to our Twitter. I made a nice little TikTok video with Shai's clip talking about how he'll be ready to go with his highlights. with the sounds of Busta Rhymes and Mariah Carey in the background. So it's a real treat. Go check it out for sure. But yeah, man, I mean, he split somebody's ankles in half. He made one over Torrey Craig in the mid range. Super crafty. There was a couple possessions out of the post in which he was able to do a spin move into a layup. Just the cradle dribble. Like, he was in his bag last night, man. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, and the more that this season's gone on, like, for a little bit there, I was just like, okay, is this sustainable? Right. Cause his game is like, it's kind of crazy. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't have a comp really in today's league. Like, I can't mm-hmm. think of someone that is just like Shai. It was like, okay, is this sustainable after so much tape? And here we are, what, 60 games into the season, 61 games, I think, into the season. No, 71 games in the season.
71, right? Yep.
Yep, 71 games in the season, and he's still doing it. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And it wasn't even that, like, he doesn't have to work that hard. And to me, it doesn't look like he has to work that hard. And, like, he's been dropping 30. What is it? He only had one game below 30 in, like, the last month. Maybe two. Am I wrong about that?
I think he's only had, like, three or four all season.
Oh, it's been ridiculous.
No, no, no. He's only at 30-plus points, if I'm remembering right. I think that's the stat that I saw last night. I could be wrong. I think that was the stat that I saw. But regardless, you know what I mean? To have over half your games, you're dropping 30, you know. I think he fell under 20 once this year.
So since February 15th, he has two games under 30 points, and both of those games were 29.
Yeah, yeah. So just still, like, yes, it's sustainable. The question that I asked, it was a stupid question because, yes, it's more than sustainable what he can do. And I don't know about everybody else, but this is about the right time that you want your stud to just be completely demolishing everybody still, especially if you have aspirations to make it to the play-in / playoffs.
And he's leading the league in scoring post All-Star break.
Yeah, well, then I saw there was a stat that I seen earlier where I think he's scoring 17 points per game on drives, or he's leading the league in drives at 17 a game. I can't remember exactly which one it was.
Either one sounds right.
Yeah, it's still stupid. You know what I mean? Just absolutely stupid. And he's just so cool, calm, collected throughout it all, man. I've really enjoyed the Shea ball over since All-Star break. I thought I liked it before, but I love it now. Yeah, good Lord. How do we just straight fleece them?
The gift that keeps on giving, baby.
Yeah, yeah. You want to talk about some leftovers though, real quick?
Yeah, give me one.
Lou freaking Dort, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not even going to talk about Booker. Like, Booker does that to anybody on any given night, so that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, that's irrelevant. Just like Shea takes it to everybody every single night. But Lou's shooting splits of, like, the last, like, couple weeks have been kind of crazy. And, yes, he has had some ups and some downs. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's stayed on the high side of things. And I don't know if this is just me because I'm just a huge Dort believer, but he looks a hell of a lot more confident in a lot of those shots that he's taking right now. And a lot of them end up being the right decision, especially like after the last 2 weeks. Now, when Shea's out, we won't talk about those games because those were the ones where he's taken some more questionable shots. But overall, dude has just been an absolute monster last night. He didn't even show up on the stat sheet that much, but he was making all the right plays. Like, just as far as on the offensive end, he was, you know, passing when he needed to pass, shoot when he needed to shoot, hit the clutchest free throws probably of his career, you know, with time expiring out or pretty close. Lou's just looking really nice right now for a guy that, you know, 3 weeks ago, everybody wanted his head on a stake. So, love you, Lou. I hope you're doing well.
Love it. Got to get that one in.
Always.
Yeah, the one thing I'll comment on, Lou, and I'll let Maddie go, is he's starting to average one of these plays a game in which he dribbles the ball up to the top of the three-point line and without consequence just lets it fly. And I'm like, no, Lou, what are you doing? And it goes in. And I'm like, all right. Every single time, dude.
Yep. Yep. And that's where I say it looks really confident. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, no, I'm going to make this. So I've been loving what I've been seeing from Lou over the last like 2 weeks, minus, like I said, the Shea games. I think the Shea games have been, or the Shea-less games have been a little weird for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, before we get to Moles, joining us is a very special guest, a person that was front and center at this game, the one, the only, the compadre Alejandro.
What up, man? Hey, man, I knew exactly what three you were talking about. Like, literally, yeah. Literally on that three, like, the whole position, I was like, take it easy, Lou. Take it easy, Lou. And then he went up, you know, he rose up, and then he hit it. And I was like, oh, yeah.
That's every freaking game, dude.
No, but, like this one, it was like, he had hit a couple, and it's just mm-hmm. like, okay, you know, there's some players that you're okay with a heat check, like Isaiah Joe, if he heat checks after like three or four made threes, understand it. Shea, him too, you know, but him, it was like, okay, you know, you're kind of bringing us back, but, you know, don't bring us back down. And it's just like, but he hit it, man. It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's like, all I ask is don't shoot threes off the dribble.
Yeah, exactly.
So my big single large item was Booker. Dylan's was Shea, Jerry's was Lou.
Mine was Wiggins, and then the leftovers was Shea, but it's okay.
Shea was leftovers? Dear God.
Man, Wiggins changed that game. He gets game ball.
I know.
What, outside of that, there are a couple other guys that you can hit up. So who you got, single large item, since you were there?
Man, I got – so, okay. So I got the true sixth man. And that was the freaking crowd, man. Like, that was – that game felt very, like 2008, 9, 10, around that era, whenever we were first, like, realizing, oh, crap, we're good. Like, that crowd felt like that. Like, when Isaiah Joe hit that three to put us up by, I believe it was five, like 103 to 108, that was just – like, I got goosebumps just being there, man. Like, I got goosebumps. Like, I did the crazy shit that I always do while sitting at my chair, you know, where I just get up and I start, like, just throwing up threes and just, like, you know, yelling like a madman. Like, it felt like that. And I haven't felt like that in, like, three or four years. Like, even the Chris Paul team. Like, the Chris Paul team was such a surprising team that you couldn't really learn to love it, you know. And then, you know, COVID, like, you were learning to love it all the way February and March when they were winning, and then COVID hit, and it was just kind of like a weird, like, what the hell just happened here? Mm-hmm. You know, but this was, you know, this was the first time that I was kind of like buzzing after, like, 24 hours after a game. Like, I'm still, like, you know, looking up everything on the internet to read on this content, to read on this game, to read about our future. Like, it's just like, it's good to be here again. And it was good to see the crowd like that.
When that shot went in from Isaiah Joe, did it feel like Russell Westbrook getting fouled in the open court against the Lakers?
No, it felt like Durant hitting the three-pointer against the Lakers on that 8-0 run. Like, his was the last one. It felt kind of like that. Like, not necessarily like – not like, I know the moment – that wasn't the moment, but it felt like the culmination of, like, 3 or 4 years of, like, build-up to that point, to a game of consequence like that. And, like, the beautiful thing is that it was the Mascot Mania game. And so you had a whole bunch of kids there. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure you just, you know, you created, like, 100, 200, 1,000 just Thunder fans for the rest of their lives in that game. Like, that game was – it was like, that amazing.
The next generation of Thunder podcasters.
Exactly. Yeah, because freaking Valley Sports isn't showing anything on TV. So, you know, these kids have not been able to grow up with that playing in the background, and them, asking their dads, asking their big brothers, you know, who's that playing? Like, so this game was kind of like the jump start for that, I think.
Yeah, for sure, man. And that's why I was, you know, really excited to talk to you about. It was just the experience, because obviously, you said the crowd was into it, but you could kind of tell just by how much really the Suns was talking to the officials. It felt like it meant a lot on the court to these players too. Could you see that from the game?
Yeah, you can, especially like that first was that, I believe it was the first quarter, the first half. I don't know, the second quarter, where you know you had You had Bismack Biyombo getting teed up for arguing a call. Then you had Josh Giddey getting teed up. Then you had, you know, Coach Mark getting teed up. Like,
oh, the back-to-back was, tech was amazing.
Yeah, the back-to-back tech was like, and apparently, like, Josh didn't really do anything to get teed up, and it got rescinded today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So his
if you're not talking to me, I'm not talking to you.
Exactly. Yeah. But Mark, Coach Dagnon just, he, you know, he be focusing on those refs, and he knows their first names, and he goes after them, man. He goes after them. It's great, man. It's awesome to see that. It's awesome to see that fire.
See, and I wanted to give Mark some love real quick, especially over this last 10-game stretch. Like, dude has been coaching his ass off, like literally coaching his ass off. And it's crazy. It's crazy that he didn't get a tech at all last year, right? Not one, not a single one last season. And I think he's up to like, I think it's like six or seven now this year. And a lot of them happen in like the last month or two.
You don't mess around and get suspended like Draymond.
Hey, but I love it, though. I absolutely love that. I love when a coach sticks up for his guys and makes sure, you know, that the refs know, like, hey, get your head out of your butt. You're not calling this game the same way. And I always love the way that he's been addressing that whenever he's been asked about it. You know, he's like, I just want a fair playing field, right? They're going to make mistakes. They're not going to coach, you know, not coach, but officiate perfectly every single game. I just want as close to a playing field as possible. And I know Dolan is like, would be cursing me out right now because I'm just a ref hater, because that's all I've ever asked for, is just making sure that it is a fair, you know, game across both teams. So, but Mark's done just a great job over the last, you know, since All-Star break, really, and just making sure that this team's ready night in and night out. I think the only game that we can say that they were not ready at all was that last Suns game when we got blown out by, you know, 30-plus there.
You mean the game where, you know, Jalen Williams and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander were out?
Yeah, like I literally – I think I turned it off in, like, the third quarter. I was like, yeah, I can't do this the rest of the way. It's going to ruin – it's going to sour me.
So on that, like, there were some questionable things, though, that – Dagnall does sometimes that just like make me kind of like what are you doing? Like there are times in the first quarter, late in the first quarter, where he literally does not have SGA, Jalen Williams, or Josh Giddey on the floor. And so you're having to have this like weird, like he had Dario Saric bring up the ball for about a minute to a minute and a half stretch there at the end of the first quarter that I was just like, look, you know, we don't need to be getting down by 20 here in the first quarter. Like, you know, it worked out, but you know, if you have three guys that are able to handle the ball, you need to stagger them to where one of them is always on the court at all times. I thought that was a little bit questionable. And then, you know, that Suns game was tailor-made for Aaron Wiggins to play in it. Like he was tailor-made to be small ball five, you know, or four, and to wait till the fourth quarter to bring him in. Yeah, it was great and it provided a spark and so on and so forth. But you know, you needed somebody probably a little bit bigger on Devin Booker than Lou Dort. And so Aaron Wiggins was probably the perfect guy to bring out there to defend him and maybe slow him down earlier than what he did. But other than that, yeah, Mark is coaching his ass off, you know.
Well, see, and I kind of look at that a little bit differently personally.
Uh-huh.
Because guys are going to get into foul trouble, right? Like somebody might get hurt mid-game. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's preferred at all, and I totally get what you're saying about like don't go down by 20. That's just stupid. You know what I mean? Like don't dig a hole that it's that hard to climb up out of. But I feel like a lot of the times with some of those weird lineups, he's like, hell, it's either going to work or it's not. I need to find out right now. And that's the one thing that I think I can appreciate about the last two seasons specifically is like, you know what you're getting with all these guys. Like how many bad Bazley minutes do we have to sit there and watch? You know what I mean? For over the last season, you know?
I truly enjoyed the bad Bays minutes that we got on Sunday. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, those were great. But you know what I mean? Like, he made sure to make sure that we weren't sitting on something here. There wasn't like a secret sauce to this lineup. Because there was a point in time last season where like Baisley was like plus 20 every single game with a certain lineup. So I just think it's a let's get it out of the way now. Let's figure out who our 7, 8, 9 are going to be, and then we'll run it from there. You know.
And I mean, look, we're still in development. Like, that may have been just a lineup to see. Hey, let's see if you take all three of these guys out, can Usman Jang, you know, handle
there
the ball?
There you go.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that's just because I just don't think he can't be that dense. You know what I mean? To be like, hey, you know what? This is about to be a strong lineup. Let me toss it out there real quick. You know?
So looking at this, like, Usman got 8 minutes, right? Trey Mann got 6 minutes. Neither one of them were very productive in their time. JRE was a plus five in 5 minutes, but he got 3 assists, 2 boards. He played some defense.
That doesn't pass the eye test at all. But anyways.
Yeah, but like there are still developmental minutes that are being put out for guys. But as we start getting into the further games of consequence, where it's like, now we have to win this game, like, I could probably see some DMP coach decision for Jang towards the back end, maybe throw him in for limited lineups because he's a big wing. But I could see our rotation tightening up quite a bit moving forward. You guys have any last minute thoughts about this game before we move on?
I just wanted to just say one more thing that I thought it was like, I hate it for him because it was a bad game for him, was J-Dub. You know what I mean? He was just not clicked in offensively whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But he tried to do everything else right. You know what I mean?
He did.
Yeah, and I thought that was super impressive, that even though his shot wasn't falling, even though he wasn't getting some of those calls, he was still, you know, going out there and working hard for the squad. I just thought that was really impressive, especially for as young as he is, because most guys that age kind of give up. And then just one quick mention, the surge that Lindy Waters has been getting over the last couple weeks. He didn't so much do it last night, but on the offensive end, but his ability to get his shot off is absolutely scary. And he showed it last night, and he's not that bad on defense anymore.
Very willing defender.
Yeah, like early in the season, I was like, yeah. And he still gets like stupid ass bump calls, like just stupid stuff. You know what I mean? And he he's just able to like not let it shake him, and he just keeps going. So proud of you, Lindy. Keep it up, my dude.
Very good minutes, and helped with some of that momentum that we had there late in the fourth quarter too.
Yeah.
I remember he got one ball. Who did he take it from? Was it Cam Payne, maybe?
I think it was.
And got out in the open floor and got an easy bucket. And that's like, we gotta have that. And you mentioned the 31 points off 14 turnovers. Yeah. That was the critical point in the game for us. J-Dub with the five dimes was an incredible playmaker. He was second on the team in assists behind Giddy. We needed that extra facilitator, and he wasn't making shots, but really he wasn't uber aggressive either. He only took 6 shots on the night. So what I need to see out of him is a little more assertiveness in trying to get his own and score, but that'll come.
No, you have to go give it to the Suns. They made sure that if they were going to double or like key on anybody on the whole floor last night, it was J-Dub and Shea is who they tried to stop all the way. And I think that they were trying to take kind of what we were going after, right? It was like, yeah, Book, go throw up 46, but no one else was scoring over 20 on your whole squad. you know, because I think everybody else had 12 points for them. But regardless, you know, the six shots, not mad about it. You know, I think that he made the first one and no, he missed the first five and then finally got one towards middle of the third quarter, if I'm remembering right.
Fourth quarter, actually.
It might have been the fourth. Yeah, it was late in the game when he finally made one.
Because his first points came off of free throws.
Yeah, because he had that missed dunk, which would have brought the house down if he would have made that, by the way. But I'm still just pleased with how he impacted the game without having to go put up a bunch of points, man. It was just something nice to see.
It wasn't an empty game for him. Like, even though he wasn't providing – that much offense scoring wise, he provided things across the board that truly helped this team, you know, secure a victory. You know, those 10 rebounds, those 5 assists.
Steal at the end of the game.
Yeah, the steal, the stocks. You know, it was necessary and it was needed and it was, you know, it was what the team needed outside of his scoring.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Agreed.
So moving on from this game and looking forward for the next several games, see, we've got at the Clippers on Tuesday, hang out on Wednesday, play them again on Thursday, and then play the Lakers on Friday. So three games in the next four nights, starting tomorrow, all in Los Angeles. Young team in Los Angeles with lots of idle time on their hands. You know, it's like the schedule makers are trying to write in a loss or two. And then we wrap up the week at Portland on Sunday before we come home and get to business and get busy against some of the weaker teams. So that four-game stretch, Alex, what's your prediction?
I say 2-2.
Okay.
I think we take the Portland game because I think Dame is done. You know, he had a quote today that basically said, you know, there comes a certain point in the season where the competitiveness is not needed anymore. Basically, you know, protect yourself for the next season. And so I think Portland is going to shut him down here soon. Probably the same thing with Grant. And then we're going to see probably a impression of what they did last season where they were playing, you know, a whole bunch of G League guys. So I think we'll win that one. And I do think we'll win one of the Clippers games. I would love to say 3-1, but I think LeBron might be eyeing a comeback here soon, and I think that might be the game because he hates Oklahoma City for some reason. He hates Shea, and so I think that'll be the game he comes back. So I do think – I think 2-2.
Hates him so much he wants to play with him in 2024. Exactly.
Draft Bronny 24.
God.
Jerry, what do you think? Next four games.
Man, I'm kind of being like really squirrely on this one. But I think this is a 4-0 road trip.
What? Come on.
So, but this is the reason why, right? This is the reason why. We're 7-3 out of our last 10. Okay, we played some pretty tough teams during that stretch, all right, playoff contending teams. I think that these young guys, especially after some of the interviews that we've heard over the last couple of weeks, specifically J-Dubs, I think it was J-Dub. Gosh dang it. It was either J-Dub or Shea that were talking about It was J-Dub where he was like, everyone already kind of wrote us off and we don't want to play like we're already written off, right? We want to go play and like do some things. And just that Shea's interview last night, I feel like they know how close they are to this. And, you know, you're only looking at 11 games left, right? That's it. Like, you can make or break the rest of your season with especially the next four games. You know, I feel like you come out of this 4-0, you can finish 4-3 to end the season and win this, you know, and still get in.
Well, hell, you finish 4-0, you're in the number six spot or five spot.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you need to have at least the both the Clippers games. You need those, right? The other two, whatever, right? But I think that Shea actually kind of has a vendetta against the Clippers too, because he always goes at them like hella crazy now.
Y'all let me go.
You let me go, you know, and I think that he really takes these games to heart. And with him being the leader, I think a lot of the rest of the team, they're going to kind of rally behind this. And I think the Clippers, I mean, yeah, is it going to be a tough game? But that team goes through huge stretches where they just don't score the ball. You know, they just don't score. And you can't do that with us. You have to be, you know, putting points up. Like, the fact that we won last night was super impressive to me, because usually with us, it's whoever gets to 100 first is going to win, you know, the rest, the, you know, just kind of right away with it. And we didn't get to 100 first last night. I don't think we did. I think the Suns did. But 4-0. I'm reaching for the stars here. 4-0.
So I would love it.
I think we beat Portland. Hot take: I think Dame soon will have played his last minutes in Portland as a Blazer.
Oh yeah.
I do think he's gonna go elsewhere this summer. It's just the writing's on the wall at this point. I think we take take one of the games against the Clippers, but Shea's not going to play against the Lakers because it's a back-to-back. Mm. And we've already established he's not playing second night of back-to-backs. I don't know if we're going to change that.
I think we are.
So you think that Shea plays all four?
I think in this stretch, yes, because we have places to rest him after this four-game stretch.
Yeah, I think he misses one of the, what is it? Detroit and or Indiana the Hornets.
Shoot, pick one of the three, because it's literally Hornets, Pistons, Pacers, you know what I mean, within that week. Like, pick one. Yeah. And I bet it'll be the Pistons game, because it's the second out of a back-to-back.
I mean, if Shea plays, then we could go 3-1. If Shea misses, I think we go 2-2. I'll hedge my bets that way.
Okay.
I'm a sucker.
So, I'm just saying.
Here's the crazy look ahead is Poku.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming up off the rehab.
He's been killing it in the G League here the last couple games. I wonder how he's going to look with the team, and I wonder when the team, like, it would be great for them to, like, not bring him back for this four-game trip, and then go ahead and bring him back kind of slowly against the three G League teams that we're going to play, to kind of get his NBA legs back into it, and then kind of release him back out into the wild there after that three-game stretch against the G League in the NBA.
Oh, my God.
I was thinking about this earlier, and I think flip that around. Throw him into the dang deep end right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
And make him figure it out, you know, especially since he has been playing very well in the G League. And coming from someone that sat courtside at a G League game, it's not even close to the NBA. It's just not. Like, they're big, they're fast, but skill set is just – it's not even close. And that was with Frank Jackson dropping like 30 something on us that night. Love you, Frank. Let me get your shoes. but I say throw him in there, because he could be very useful against the Clippers, for instance. All right. Like, very useful against these Clippers. He wouldn't have that same need, quote unquote, you know, against the G League teams. But I just want to see the guy back, and I want to see kind of what he's going to get and run. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm curious about with Pokey right now, man. It's just, what's that really going to look like for the last 11 games of the season? You know,
I don't want to see a duplication of JRE. Like, JRE has not looked like himself since he came back from that injury. Like,
no,
I'm hoping that's not what happens to Pokey, because the thing is, like, we're running right now. Like, we're not, like, we don't have time to, you know, hey, just go ahead and work out the kinks there for 20, 25 minutes. Not, like, if you're not performing, it's DMP CDs, you know, for a couple games. And the thing with Pokey is I worry about his, like, mental toughness when it comes to that. Like, you know, he has a bad game here or there, or, like, he has a rough stretch coming back, and that, you know, bleeds over into next season. So I hope that doesn't happen. So I hope, you know, I hope he comes back, and I hope it's, you know, it's a pretty quick transition back into NBA life for him.
Yeah.
So we've talked about, you know, the next four games, talked a little bit about what follows that, and the rest of our season kind of wraps up against, you know, like Golden State, Memphis, Utah, in some order there in the last little bit. Play-in matchups as of right now, 7-8 is Dallas, Minnesota, 9-10 is OKC and Lakers. That's certainly going to move around a little bit. So who do you guys think falls into the play-in, and who would you much like? I'll say that first, and then follow up will be, who would you like us to match up with the most in the play-in? Go ahead and start, Alex.
So I think Dallas actually falls into the play-in.
They're the 7 right now.
Well, yeah, there's 7. Yeah. What I mean by that is into the 9-10 range.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on with Luka. Like, I would figure if they're going into a stretch run, Luka would have been out there.
He's hurt, bro.
He's hurt. No, he's got that thigh injury.
Yeah.
So I say they drop down to, like, number 9. I tell you what, man, Utah does not want to lose. Like, I think they lost tonight. They lost to Sacramento. Or they're losing.
Everybody does. Everybody.
Yeah, but they started that game 40-19.
They're actually up by 1 with 2 minutes left right now.
There you go. Okay, so that's a very close game. Like, yeah. Like, Utah is tough. They're a tough team to out. They got a whole bunch of just dogs on that team. So I think the Lakers bow out. They go to 11. I think Utah goes to 10. I think Dallas 9. And then us versus Golden State. Switch that. I think us versus Minnesota in the 7-8 matchup. And I think we actually win that.
So you think Minnesota holds on with Ant's injury?
Well, they held on today against New York, with Julius Randle dropping 54 or 56, something like that.
57 on 8 of 14 threes.
Yeah, like, so they held on today. So,
man.
You know, it's like at a certain point, like, the math starts to run out. Like, you know, you have like 10 games left, 11 games left. Like, if a team wins, you know, 4 or 5 more, like, they're in. And I think Minnesota is that kind of team. Like, I think Ant will be back. I don't think he'll be out for that long. And so, yeah, I think they're the 7, we're the 8.
I think we actually probably hold on to the 8 seed after it's all said and done. And we're probably going to end up playing the Mavericks, which that's the one team I do not want to play in the play-in. Why? I just don't want no piece of that. I just don't. It's such a setup game against Dallas. Like, no, I would rather play the Lakers, the Wolves, the Jazz. I'd rather play one of those three than the Mavericks. Because, like, their lineups have made no sense recently. They're just – I think they're, like, purposely, like, just trying to get that rest. to make sure that they can make, you know, a deeper playoff run. So I want no piece of that. If we play the Lakers, we win. You know, if we end up, if they end up making it to Minnesota minus Ant, I think we win that game, minus Cat too. I think as long as we handle business these last 11 and get in, there's a lot of favorable matchups in that play-in for us that we can at least get to that first round and probably get thumped. I mean, if we're being honest, because we're either playing the Grizzlies or the Nuggets. I think the only team that I think that I would rather play out of that, though, is the Grizzlies right now. They're just way too hurt. So, like I said, hoping to fall into that 7-8 so we can kind of go to the bottom part of the bracket versus going up towards the top against the Nuggets, because I don't want to see the Nuggets right now either.
I like a lot of your points. You talk about the math. Only 3.5 games separate the fourth seed and the Jazz, who are currently on the outside looking in at the 11th spot. 3.5 games this late in the season could be a lot of movement, especially with some of these injuries. But my prediction is it's going to be Dallas, OKC, Minnesota, and the Lakers. So as of right now, I think OKC moves up to 8. The Timberwolves fall down to 9. I just don't think the Jazz are going to make it. I do think the Lakers are going to be able to find a way to get in, and LeBron's going to be in the play-in to some magnitude. But the great point about getting the 7 or the 8 seed is, one, we're guaranteed a home postseason game, right? Even as the 8 seed would have to go play on the road against the 7 seed. But if we win, then we're in the playoffs. Yep. And if we lose, then we host the winner of 9 and 10.
Yep.
And so with one game to get into the playoffs at Paycom, like it's going to be money. So anywhere in the top 9 seeds, you're guaranteed at least one postseason home game. That's a very interesting point that I don't think anybody's really considered, especially when you consider what the crowd was like in that game of magnitude on Sunday. So OKC, if they can just hang around and not be the 10 seed, I think they have a really good shot to make the playoffs. But I think they're going to be in that top bracket in the play-in at the 7-8. So, okay, real quick, let's get into a couple Twitter questions before we get out of here. Thank you. At Alex Bowler Jack, when you watch at home, what's your go-to snack/meal for NBA ball? Jerry, go.
Oh my God. Honestly, peanut butter crackers and lots of water.
Peanut butter crackers and water.
Yep.
So he's on that prison food. Alex, what do you got?
Honestly, nothing that I usually eat all the time. Like, it's just whatever.
I've been, since the game against the Cavs, I've got my little popcorn bucket. And so I really like to make microwave popcorn and fill the popcorn bucket and pretend I'm there. So
that's awesome.
I even drink out of my OKC cup that I got from there also.
There you go. You were at the game.
So there we go. And here's a fun one from also at Alex Bowler Jack. What's your favorite Make a Godfather offer level player in the NBA for the Thunder? I think it probably has to be reasonable, because I don't think like Tatum is reasonable, right? Maybe a Jaylen Brown is. But maybe a guy like Bam is. Maybe we go all in and say, here's everything, give us Dame, and we'll figure it out. I don't know, but what are you guys thinking? Alex, let's start with you on that.
You kind of took mine, man. You know how Phoenix, it took Chris Paul to kind of push him into that stratosphere? Like, I think, like, someone like Dame. Man, like, I know Dame is older, but I think, like, Dame for, like, a maybe a 2 to 3 year stretch, would be amazing as like our point guard and just shooting freaking threes and spacing the floor. And like everybody, like, it, you know, you have part of like Thunder fan and it's like, oh, Trae Young. No, like Dame has been there. Dame has done it multiple times. And so Dame has never had a team around him, you know, consistently. He had like maybe 1 year where they went to the Western Conference Finals, but consistently around him to actually like kind of push him to where, you know, his stratosphere of being one of the greats as far as a point guard, as far as a floor general. So, I mean, I would love to see him in OKC for a couple seasons, man.
How do you not, like, with how much we crush the paint? Like, imagine all those shots that Waters and Joe are taking. That's Dame out there just, you know, 8 to 10 times a game just letting it rain. My God, that's incredible. Jerry, what do you got?
I'm looking at kind of expiring contracts because I'm a cheapskate. So I don't want to spend a lot, right? Don't want to cut into my profits. But I think I'm kind of sold on Kyle Kuzma.
What?
Godfather offer for Kuzma?
Wait. So anybody?
It's a Godfather. Okay. Godfather.
Realistic.
Maybe I didn't understand the intensity of the Godfather on there. I'm sorry about that. Well, yeah, if you're talking Godfather offer,
somebody who may be available, like probably it's not Steph. Probably it's not Tatum.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to go through real quick. Yeah, let's. I mean, if that's the case, give me Domantas Sabonis back. Like, give me Sabonis all day. And have a banger and a finesser and Chet on the outside. And you want to talk about ball movement.
Gonzaga front court.
Hell, let's draft Drew Timmy in the second round this year.
Yeah, let's just do it. No, but I would love, and he just fits the timeline too. You know, like I would love to have a Sabonis, especially after the year that he's had with the squad that he's had. I think he could do that plus more with a team like us.
So my godson offer.
Godson
would be Miles Bridges, man.
Miles.
Mikal, my bad.
Son.
Mikal Bridges. My fault, man. I don't want to have anybody in Oklahoma.
No, he's going to be – I just said Kyle Kuzma. Like, you can't get worse than that.
That's very true.
No, but
– Mikal.
Yeah. I think with him, he's a Godfather offer, is he not?
I just say – I say Godson offer because he's younger.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I mean, he would be perfect here. I mean, I love Dort, but here's Dort and a bunch of picks, and you can have.
Here's the beautiful thing. You don't have to give up Dort. You don't have to give up Dort in the offseason.
No, because we have the space.
Yeah, we have the space.
You can give them a $21 million traded player exception, give them 5 first round picks. I know that's a lot, but we're not giving them any players either. So throw 5 first round picks at them. Hell, even throw Jang at them. I don't care.
No, they can have a Trey Mann, and they can have a JRE. Like, you guys can have that. You're welcome. And they'll probably be studs whenever they go over there, too, just because that's our luck. But
can you imagine Cam Thomas and Trey Mann?
Just all cooking from 30 feet, times plus a game.
Let's go.
Yeah, I like both of those. I think Bridges probably would have been mine within reason if the Nets decide to just fully embrace the rebuild, even though he kind of helps and they can't fully bottom out because the Rockets have their picks. But playing this game, I am starting to like really like that Dame idea, though, man. Like, from the shot that ruined our franchise and buried us to then coming to us and us getting him a title, like the Pacific Northwest would just hate Oklahoma forever. If that happened.
Although I think Portland fans would kind of like join us for a little bit there while he was here.
I don't know, man.
You know how kind of like a lot of Thunder fandom kind of flopped over to Houston and then Washington for a little bit there. Not too many of them flocked over to LA whenever he went to the Lakers, but you know, Russell Westbrook, he was our guy. So
I think that they'd be trying to riot in the streets of Oklahoma City during the parade if that happened. But speaking of at official Bryson G asks, what street will have the best view of the championship parade and why? Both of you guys can go because I'm not a local anymore.
I mean, it's just Reno. It has to be.
Well, no, but you can't even have a parade on Reno, really and
you
truly.
You can't. Yeah, not anymore.
You can't. Not with the Bricktown going that way. I think you probably have to take this thing.
It's going to be in the park.
Yeah, you have to do it in the park, yeah.
I think it'd have to start probably somewhere over there by the Devon Tower, like kind of north of it.
Yeah,
and make its way down towards Scissortail because I just don't think that you could get away with doing it on Reno with the train bridge right there because, like, you can't put a double-decker bus through that. Like, it's not going to fit. And we all know you need a double-decker bus to have a championship parade. It's like peanut butter and jelly.
If only we would have gotten a trial run back in like 2012, 2000.
I know we could have had this figured out already.
Gosh.
Yeah, but I'd have to say probably. I think it's Walker or. Why am I brain farting right now? I just know where to turn at.
We just know it's going to end up in the park.
Yeah, or maybe go down Broadway and then come on down the back way. You know, by Devon Tower, that would work.
Screw it. Just close the highway. Just close the highway and just give us like a 2 mile stretch of highway.
I mean, our governor has done stupider shit, so it wouldn't surprise me if we did that one.
No, that would be too smart for him to actually do it.
Yeah, you're right there. But I would have to say definitely not Reno. It's just not big enough. And then, like, if you go too far west, you got to deal with like the nasty liquor stores, the convenience stores that, like, the only thing that's keeping them alive is Colt 45s and those little glass roses where people smoke crack out of them.
Colt 45 during the parade, let's do it.
You know I'll be there with some champagne.
Little vials of crack during the parade, let's do that also. Let's go.
Why not? You know, we couldn't pass rec weed. We might as well smoke crack.
Peanut butter and crack sandwich.
Damn it! We're in Oklahoma. It's meth. Calm yourself down.
Yeah, it's our favorite. It's world famous.
Yeah. At Thunder Talks, thoughts on why Wiggins doesn't get more run?
Me personally, it is just my own crazy conspiracy theory. Is we know what we get with him, and we're not trying to show our full hand throughout the season. Like, we just get him just enough run to make sure that he's still okay. And it's just my crazy conspiracy theory. Like, that's all that this is. Nothing else.
Like, I hear that.
Weapon X.
I hear that, and I hear that he's on the Kenrich plan and blah, 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 blah. But, man, you know, like, there comes a certain point, like, where if you have a player like that, like, another team is going to swoop in, and whenever he becomes a free agent, now, if they don't ever let him go to free agency, okay, great. But if he goes to free agency, another team's going to swoop in and probably offer him, like, you know, $8, $9 million a year, which we can match, which we can go ahead and match.
Kenny gets seven, right?
Kenrich got six. Yeah, six to seven.
Yeah. But I think that's a little bit different too. And I think that the big savings that we've had over the last couple seasons, you know what I mean? Like, I think Clay's, you know, he's padding those pockets right now. I mean, we did get $17 million from the whole thing. So I think that he, I think we could sign him. I don't think that would be a big deal. But me personally, I just think that he's like, you know, the one missile silo that no one knows about in the whole world. And you're just ready to unleash them whenever you really need to.
I like it. I just think we got a lot of guys and we try to figure out rotations that work and just different combinations for what we can get for an end product. Yep. He kind of fits in a lot of things. So I think that since we know what he brings to the table and he brings that energy, he's a spark guy for us for sure that we can deploy. And we know that regardless of the lineup that he's in, he's not going to disrupt what we're doing on either side of the floor. So it's more to test the other guys. I think that if we get into the playoffs, he's certainly going to be somebody that's in the rotation.
Oh, he's playing getting
15 plus minutes a game.
Yeah.
Just for
he's
what
get,
he
he's getting run for sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's most definitely.
And the last one we have is at Medicine Clam. Over the past few weeks, it looks like our most consistent lineup, especially against more talented veteran teams, is a small ball combination with either Joe or Lindy subbing for Jay Will. Do you think Mark will push this to the point of starting Giddy at the center with that group? Jerry, how do you feel about the small ball Giddy at the five? And do you think that Coach Dagnall will implement that?
So honestly, like, I don't think that, and this has been kind of uttered multiple times this year, is like, we don't play position basketball. Right. Like, we have guys that can fit those positions, of course, but like, we really and truly don't play position basketball. I mean, one of you guys earlier were talking about Dario bringing the ball up during, you know, that weird, it was Alex, you know, talking about Dario bringing the ball up during that weird stretch or, no, like, honestly, I don't think it matters. I think it makes the most sense as far as what personnel they have out there. And what's going on, because you could best believe last night, for instance, if Ayton was playing, Jay Will would have played a hell of a lot more. You know, he would have had to at that point in time, really and truly, right? So I think it's kind of a mix. And you know, I don't talk to Mark personally, but I think that he probably just looks at it as, how do I say this? Essentially, whenever you go look at some of these lineups, can they outpace scoring and still hold their own on defense, you know, for 5-6 minutes at a time? And you've seen them tinker with that a lot this season. And I think that it really just depends on who else is on the other side of the ball. Because we don't have the shooting just yet, the outside shooting just yet, to kind of force teams' hands to go small with us, right? Like, they can still throw a big guy in there and do okay, right? I mean, if we get down to, like, the nitty-gritty of it, there's only really one team in recent history that has been able to go small like that. But they also had two of the best shooters of all time on their squad also, right?
And the guy that they played small was an elite defender.
Yeah, like it's I think that's such a special look, and a lot of the NBA, especially us fans, we look to like, oh, it could work for anybody else. Well, it's not really, you know. I think you have to kind of take some good and some bad on the offensive end and the defensive end, and just kind of trying to create your own little lineup flavor that makes the most sense for the guys that are on the floor right then and there. You know, if you noticed, I think Dort's minutes were literally shaded with Booker's last night, right? It's no surprise that Mark does that a lot, where he will pull, if Lou's guys out, Lou comes out, you know? He's catching that rest too. So I don't want to sit there and commit to a, hey, this is going to be the lineup type of thing, because I think that there's just way too many variables inside of it. And I think Mark kind of looks at the game the same way, is I don't need a set lineup. And then secondly, just me being the non-homer right now, we don't have the shooters to do those things just yet. Unfortunately, we just don't. Maybe down the road we do. You know, having that, I love that Lindy and Joe lineup whenever they're together on the floor. I love it, because you can put them on opposite sides. It's kind of pick your poison. I just think that we would need some more consistency out of that lineup. And it sucks, because Lindy and Isaiah, they just can't go off together in one game. It's like one or the other, you know what I mean? Or they both barely put up some points. You're not getting both of them. So to answer the question, yes and no. I don't know another way to answer that.
I think it was a very poignant thought when you talked about just, can you pace and can you hold your own? This team is very unconventional. I'll post a link to it on my Twitter there is a really nice breakdown of our offense. Royce Young narrated it. It went into just how unconventional it was, more flow than pattern, really, to where you just can't break us down because, like, A plus B doesn't equal C. We don't think linear like that. It's more just the flow of the game. And Coach Dagnall, we saw the makings of this 2 years ago when we were losing games and we were a bad offense, but the ball moved around.
Yep.
And we just couldn't make shots. Now we have guys that can make shots, and we have guys that can move the ball around a lot more efficient. And now we also have guys that can make those decisions a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. So based on all of those skill sets, and we see that kind of up and down the roster, if you can't make quick decisions, if you don't play hard on defense, if you're not a willing defender, you're not getting minutes.
Yeah.
Trey Mann has a couple of bad series on defense. He gets pulled
immediately.
It happens. Yep. And so guys like Lindy, he's willing. Isaiah Joe, he's willing on defense. And then those guys can provide a lot of space. Sometimes they sub in for each other to provide that spacing. A lineup I'm really excited to see, especially in the playoffs when you start getting into the half court and stuff and spacing becomes even more important. Shea, Giddey, Dub, Joe, and Waters. I want to see that lineup a lot because you have two guys that can play big in Dub and Giddey. You have a lot of length. You have guys that can cut and threaten the paint. And you have backdoor cutters all over the place along with the space thing that you get from Joe and from Waters. And you don't really have a big to like battle into the paint on defense, but the team concept that we employ and the zone concepts that we employ defensively, I think can help us get away with that. The only thing that could kill us is somebody getting, you know, 25 and 17, some type of like Ayton going nuts, or guys just killing us from the corner, because
which doesn't happen. I mean, from the corner, yes, it does happen. But from the big man perspective, it just does not happen, right? Like, we're able to, through our identity, to be able to handle a lot of those things. And I think that's just where it's like, I think it just matters on the personnel. Because, like, the lineup that you just mentioned, I'd make one substitution to that. And there's only really one right now with who's available, is I would throw Wiggins instead of Waters. Just for a different kind of balance out there. But even then, right, like you nailed pretty much Royce's video perfectly, because that's I think that's the best explanation that I've heard of how this team works, probably one of the best ones I've just heard in general about NBA teams, because it's not linear, right? Like, we'll collapse on you and we're going to make it tough. Or you're going to have Jay Will sitting underneath the basket ready to take a charge, right? It was like me and Steve went back and forth a week or two ago about, like, I value getting offensive fouls, right, more than steals, right? Like, I'd rather have 14 offensive fouls than 14 steals. You still get a change of possession, right? It's not in the fast break, essentially, but we don't need that. Really and truly, because our normal pace is a fast break type of pace. There's so many things that are like so intriguing right now with where we're at, and it's scary because we don't have a Poku, right? He's been out for the last 2.5-3 months. We don't have a Chet Holmgren, you know, in there just yet. We don't have a lot of these missing pieces. That'll definitely be more valuable, right? Because down the road, sorry, Isaiah, if Poku's shooting about the same percentage as you, I'm playing Poku every time. Can't help it.
If Poku shoots 40%+ from three, Poku's making $25 million a year.
Good. Good. Because he does everything else better than Isaiah Joe. Rebounding, passing the ball, everything's better with a Poku. You know, or you got a Chet, you know, that's, you know, able to stretch the floor, still defend the rim. Like, if Poku does the same stuff, you know what I mean? Like, it's we're missing so many pieces. And I think that's probably like my one regret, is like the season's winding down, is damn, we had a lot of injuries this year. We really did. We had some guys out for some stretches. And, just credit to these guys, man, just like you said, it's a culture thing, right? It's It's what they believe in. It's what they're going to continue to do. Whether they're up by 25 or they're down by 25, you're still going to get the same Thunder team every single night. So
keep coming.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a great question, but it's so hard to answer that from at least my lens over here. Like, I actually might text, because I have Dr. Clam on speed dial over here. I might text Dr. Clam myself and ask him what he thinks about it, just because I'm kind of curious. I don't see a need for it. So,
but I mean, point forward Giddy has been a thing. He's played a lot of the quote unquote four a lot.
Yeah.
He could very well slide into the five. I see the vision there. I do think that J Will doesn't limit us on either side of the floor either. He spaces it really well. The booms, I feel like his threes are worth like 3.2 points for us, just with the boost that we get out of seeing him.
Well, because what it does, it's not even that either. It stretches that defense out. So that gives Shea another foot or two to work with as he's trying to, you know, drive to the basket, or Giddy driving to the basket, or Jay. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much room for activities with this lineup. And it's not even like set up the way that we know it'll be set up especially going into next year. And that's why, like, I'm really excited, and I've been really trying to just shut the fuck up on Twitter recently, right? Because I'm trying not to jinx it. But, like, by God, if we get into the play-in game, just the play-in, right? And I had this argument. It was with you at the beginning of the season, actually. We had this debate about lotto odds, right? And what's more valuable, all right? So I'm going to ask you right here, right now, since it's kind of within reach, all right? Do we trade the play-in for that extra 2-3% of lottery odds right here, right now, today? Not so much the beginning of the season when we first had this discussion.
I think that the way to get to the odds of consequence is now out of reach.
Oh, but
so
let's just,
so we've got to go all in to try to make the play-in, because we're all lumped so close together here in the play-in spot.
Okay, let me rephrase my question.
There's no viable way that we could get to like the sixth best odds.
No, I get that. So let me rephrase my question then. All-star break. We're at all-star break, right? Where it's there. You know what I'm saying?
I'll qualify this.
After watching
that
team. Yeah.
The first game after the all-star break, and Shea was playing and we lost against Utah in a heartbreaker. That game hurt because I wanted that game.
Sure.
And then we lost five straight, and I was like, bet, I'm cool with us now repositioning for development. Let's make our odds the best they can be. And then we go off and we win 7 out of 10 right after that. So just when I get my mind and my heart set on something, this team just hits me with the okie doke and the Uno reverse card, if you will. And I have to just like forget everything that just happened. right after the All-Star break, during that game against the Jazz, I wanted that win bad. I wanted us to push and just see how far this team could go. I was having the vibes of the Chris Paul team, and then we lost 5 in a row. And I was like, bet.
Sure.
Brandon Miller, he's not off my board yet, type of thing. Like, we could still get to him at 3, and now he's the hot guy for 2 or whatever. But I was like, yeah, we could still get a top 4 pick. Like, let's do that. Let's add a 6'10 guy that can shoot and all that. Like, bet.
Sure.
Now I'm like, whatever happens, happens. It's supposed to happen that way. But I don't want us to be – I'll say this. I don't want us to be at 11 in the West.
Well, no shit. But what I'm just saying, like, I'm just looking
that
at
little
it from
bit,
a straight
– that little bit of equity to be 11, that's better than 10 – no. And you're not the play-in isn't worth it to me.
No, and I understand that. I understand that. But where we're at right now, right, do you think the play-in for this team is more valuable this season than next season with it being in reach? I think everybody in Thunder Nation right now is in agreement that we're making the play-in or better next year. It's happening.
Well, we're knocking on top 5 seed.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, we're there next season, but – do you value that quote unquote playoff experience as much as I did now than what I did, you know, 4 months ago, 5 months ago.
I will say that I would value top six odds more than the play-in experience.
Oh man, right I can't now. Stand your face. Okay.
But
well, I thought I was going to turn you into a believer finally, and it didn't happen.
But that's just me looking at it for this, because I already know that we're coming next season.
Yeah.
Now that I'm not, don't get it twisted. I'm going to be yelling at the TV as loud as anybody, you know, from here on the rest, especially the next four games.
Sure.
Like they matter. I want us to win. But if I could choose right now, hey, you guys are the eight seed in the play-in, or you guys have the six best draft odds. I'm taking the six best draft odds and moving forward.
Well,
but that's just me looking at it in a bigger picture than this year. Yeah, but
we're all stick to my story. Yeah. Playing is way more valuable than a few more percentage points, buddy.
I mean, the Suns in the bubble won like all games in a row and then made the move for Chris Paul and
yeah,
you know,
like
went. Then went to the finals. Yeah. So I see the linear thought there. But yeah.
Okay.
I'd still like one more dude on this team.
Well, we're going to trade for Dame Lillard, so it's okay.
Done. Boom. I think we all agree. Let's go. Dame time in OKC.
Now, that was a great question, though, Dr. Clam. I like that one.
All right. That's it for Twitter questions. So, Jerry, any parting thoughts for the pod?
We're going to go 4-0 this week. We're going to be in the perfect driver's position to get ourselves into that 8 seed or better. I truly feel like this team is super duper hungry. And then my only last parting thought is I agree with Mark where I say, get your butts in the dang arena already. I've gave out, I don't know how many seats this year, or even tried to, and some people didn't even pick them up. Just go. All right. Like, it doesn't matter. Just go, go support those guys. Go let them know that we're behind them. Cause everyone has to remember that they're going to be free agents someday. And we want them to know what they have here instead of looking on the other side of the fence and acting like it's better than what we got. So go to basketball games, cheer really loud this week.
Exactly. If this was a stock you would want to be buying right now, because yes, it's about to go to the moon.
Yeah.
It's so not going to go. it's not SVB either.
No, it's not.
So, all right. And my final thoughts are to just enjoy basketball. We've got like 10-ish games.
11 left. Games left. Yeah.
11 enjoy games. It. Like, the season's blown by. Don't take any game for granted. If you can find it, you know, wherever you can watch it or whatever. Like, it's just such a blessing to be able to watch this team and watch them grow and see what they can become. And the last 2 years have sucked to get us to this point. So
yeah.
This is when it's starting to pay off a little bit, is seeing like basketball that matters late March, early April. So yeah. Enjoy that and appreciate the ride that we've been on, and it's only up from here. So thanks everybody for joining us on the OKC Topic Thunder podcast. You know, hoop when you can, go see games when you can. And as always,
thunder up.
What?
Dylan has to end this. We can't. Oh, wait, we can. We can.
How do we do that?
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.